Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, open our minds. Come, Holy Spirit, touch my lips. Come, Holy Spirit, touch our hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I was going to write a sermon on apathy, but I couldn't be bothered. If we believe that God has shown such radical love that he looked on us in our brokenness, in our sinfulness, in our lostness, and reached out to us in the person of Jesus, who died for us, but more than that, has been raised and lives, what difference should that make in our lives? If you like, you might like to have a Bible open in front of you. We're going to be in Matthew 25, which I believe is page 15 in the New Testament section. And Matthew 25 holds three famous parables that Jesus told about the kingdom of God. But they are all parables about being alert, about being switched on for the coming of the kingdom. Today we're going to look at just one of those parables, known as the parable of the talents or the bags of gold, as we just heard. And so verse 14, for it, and it being the kingdom of God, for it as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. Now, what is a talent? A talent was an item of enormous weight and value. Think of a gold bar. So one is given 5, and the one that is given 5 has been given a huge, weighty, valuable item. But when you consider that in today's money, 1 talent is worth about £300,000. The one who was given only 1 talent was also given a rather weighty and valuable item. And so the story continues, verse 16. The one who had 5 went off at once and traded and made 5 more. In the same way, the one who had the 2 made 2 more. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. So we have 2 who had invested their assets and doubled their lot, and 1 who had held on to their assets. And so verse 19, after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who received 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents. Master, you handed me 5 talents. I have made 5 more talents. His master said, well done, and rewarded him. The one with 2 talents also came forward, saying, master, you handed over to me 2 talents. I have made 2 more. His master said, well done, and rewarded him also. Verse 24. Then the one who received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. And I think that says a lot about the character of this slave. Because if you think about it, this master, his boss, has put him in charge of 1 talent, £300,000 in today's money. Clearly, he has demonstrated trust in his servant. And we also see that he doesn't seem to be a harsh person, because when the other servants come back, he's very rewarding and gives encouragement to what they've done. And so what we see when the servant who only had one says these things of his master, it is a complete misconception. I think what we see is the apathy of the servant with one talent. This is an excuse based on the laziness of the servant. Verse 26, but his master replied, "You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow, and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. Again, this highlights the laziness of this servant. It would not have been difficult to put it in the bank and await interest. It would have been a small amount, sure, but it would have been something. In this instance, it was better to do something than nothing at all. Now, by this point, you probably realise we're not really talking about actual cash. And this becomes really apparent in verse 29. For to all who have, more will be given, and they have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. Now, if we're talking about money, that would sound like in the kingdom of God, the rich will get richer and the poor will have the little that they do have robbed from them and given away. That's not the kingdom of God. For many people, that's the world they live in now. They see corrupt systems that makes the rich richer and the poor poorer. And then if you were to add to that verse 30, it's even more harsh. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, weeping and gnashing of teeth in the Gospels is very often Jesus' phrase that he uses to describe hell. So the point of this story cannot possibly be that in the kingdom of God, the rich get richer, the poor get robbed just for being poor, and they go to hell. So what are these talents? Well, most commentators would say that the master is, of course, God. And the talents are the gifts that God has given to each of us. Now, in English, of course, there is a fun double meaning to that word talent. A coincidence. It's obviously this word used for this weighty amount of money, but it is also the word that we use for our gifts and abilities. But remember that the talents in this story represented a weighty amount of money. So they represented something a bit more than what we might think of as our gifts and abilities. Something more than whether or not you can play the piano or sing the Spanish national anthem in Japanese while standing on your head drinking a glass of water. It's more than those sorts of talents. Does anyone have that talent? That'd be good, wouldn't it? This is something weighty. What are the weighty gifts that God gives? First of all, he has given to everyone the gift of being made in his image, that we are in some way made to reflect the glory of God. And every human being is a bearer of that image. But there's also gifts of God's mercy and kindness that he offers. He gave his son Jesus to die in the place of sinners in order that they can be given, in order that they can be set free from the place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, all three of the servants were given something of this nature. And so you might ask, well, why did some get more than others? Well, the parable says, verse 15, to each according to their ability. Now, remember, this is a parable, so we might want to take that to mean according to their ability to serve Jesus Christ, given their circumstance. I'll give you a working example of this. I don't have children, but those who do have children have been gifted with the gift of children. So in that sense, they have more. They might also have received the gift of teaching their children, or even the gift of patience with their children. Now, in that sense, they have received more. But I might have received gifts of God's mercy in other areas of my life that they might not have. It can be based on our circumstances and our ability to serve Jesus Christ in those circumstances. But notice that when both the faithful servants return to the master, he replies to them in exactly the same way. In verse 21, he says to the one who had five, and in verse 24, he says to the one who has two talents, "Well done, good and trustworthy servant. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Because it's not about their works. It's not about their works. It's about two things: faith and grace. The faith of those servants to trust in their master. And the grace of the master to reward generously. Because the apathetic slave, the one who only had one talent, is the one who heard of the mercy of God. They've heard the news that God has shown such radical love that he looked on us in our brokenness, in our sinfulness, in our lostness, and reached out to us in the person of Jesus who died for us. But more than that, has been raised from the dead and lives. And despite this grace given to them, the servant with one didn't invest with faith, and so departed into weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so what can we do based on this? What can we invest? Well, first of all, we could share that news. The news that Jesus Christ lives, that he reigns, that he sets free, that he loves. That's a way of investing that, to give it away from us and to return with more. One area that I am very conscious of at the moment is I'm aware that I've been given, through Jesus, the gift of the church, of the family. I'm an adopted son of God, and I have brothers and sisters. But there's something to be said, rather than just knowing that as a fact, but actually investing in that and living like I have brothers and sisters. And perhaps you're thinking, well, I don't really know where to start with this. I don't really know how to begin to live this out in my own life. Well, as Christoph was saying earlier, and as we'll hear more about next week, we're trying to live these things out here in these three words: pray, welcome, and share. And so if you want to just explore what we're doing and how you can join in investing the kindness, the gifts of God's mercy. And I'd like to offer to all of us, as an example, what we already heard this morning from 1 Thessalonians. Because there we see a church that was so caught up in investing the gifts and kindness that God had given to them. In one sense, they didn't even really need to worry about it. Because Paul writes, "Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers and sisters, you do not have to have anything written to you. For you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come." In other words, when the master will come to see how many talents the church in Thessalonica had invested and how many they had on return, they don't even need to worry because they're so caught up in investing the kindness, the gifts of God with the people around them for his glory. And so my prayer is that we will be a church like that, that no one would ever have to remind us that the day when the master is coming to count up what talents we have, that we'll just be so caught up in it. Amen.